ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्णा। We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 9, Answers by Citing the Lord's Version. And today we will discuss Text 20. Shri Bhagavan Vacha Tvayaham Toshita Samyag Ved Garbha Shishrakshaya Chirambritena tapasya Dushtosa kuta yoginam. Shri Bhagavan uvacha Tvayaham toshita samyag Vedgarbha shishrakshaya Chirambritena tapasya Dushtosha kuta yoginam. Shri Bhagavan uvacha Tvayaham toshita samyag Vedgarbha shishrakshaya Chirambritena tapasya Dushtosha kuta yoginam. Shri Bhagavan uvacha Tvayaham toshita samyag Vedgarbha shishrakshaya Chirambritena tapasya Shri Bhagavan uvacha Vayaham toshito samyag Vedgarbha shishrakshaya Chirambritena tapasya Dushtosha kuta yoginam. Shri Bhagavan uvacha Tvayaham toshita samyag Vedgarbha shishrakshaya Chirambritena tapasya Dushtosha kuta yoginam. Shri Bhagavan uvacha Aham satya samya Vedgarbha shishrakshaya Chirambritena tapasya Dushtosha kuta yoginam. Mataji, Shri Bhagavan uvacha Tvayaham toshita samyag Vedgarbha shishrakshaya Chirambritena tapasya Dushtosa kuta yoginam. Shri Bhagavan uvacha Tvayaham toshita samyag Vedgarbha shishrakshaya Chirambritena tapasya Dushtosa kuta yoginam. Synonyms. Shri Bhagavan uvacha The all beautiful personality of Godhead said, Tvaya by you. Aham, I am. Tosita, pleased. Samyak, complete. Vedagarbha, impregnated with the Vedas. Shishrakshaya, for creating. Chiram, for a long time. Britena, accumulated. Tapasya, by penance. Dushtosha, very hard to please. Kuta yoginam, for the pseudo mystics. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. The beautiful personality of Godhead addressed Lord Brahma. O Brahma, impregnated with the Vedas, I am very much pleased with your long accumulated penance with the desire for creation. Hardly am I pleased with the pseudo-mystics. Purport. There are two kinds of penance. One for sense gratification and the other for self-realization. There are many pseudo-mystics who undergo severe penances for their own satisfaction. And there are others who undergo severe penances for the satisfaction of the senses of the Lord. For example, the penances undertaken to discover nuclear weapons will never satisfy the Lord, because such a penance is never satisfactory. By nature's own way, everyone has to meet death. And if such a process of death is accelerated by anyone's penances, there is no satisfaction for the Lord. The Lord wants every one of His parts and parcels to attain eternal life and bliss by coming home to Godhead. And the whole material creation is meant for that objective. Brahma underwent severe penances for that purpose, namely to regulate the process of creation so that the Lord might be satisfied. Therefore, the Lord was very much pleased with him, and for this, Brahma was impregnated with Vedic knowledge. The ultimate purpose of Vedic knowledge is to know the Lord, and not to misuse the knowledge for any other purposes. Those who do not utilize Vedic knowledge for that purpose are known as Kuta Yogis or pseudo-transcendentalists who spoil their lives with ulterior motives. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namah Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakalpaturubhyasya kripasindrubhyo eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. I'll read the translation once again. The beautiful personality of Godhead addressed Lord Brahma. O Brahma, impregnated with the Vedas, I am very much pleased with your long accumulated penance with the desire for creation. Hardly am I pleased with the pseudo-mystics. So here, it's actually Sukadeva Goswami describing all this to Parikshit Maharaj, answering his questions. as the chapter itself states, answers by citing the Lord's version. And he's sharing Brahma's realizations, how performing his penance, austerities, tapasya, he go to see the Lord and receive benedictions to do his service. So here we can see the Lord is actually congratulating Brahma and telling him that he, by his sincere austerities, he is very pleased, and he was happy to bestow the required strengths, abilities, powers that he would need to do his service. So the Lord here points out actually there is two types of penances. One is for one's own satisfying one's own desires, and other one is to actually perform penance to carry out the desires of the Lord. So essentially it's pointing out the difference between a devotee who is performing penances with a purified consciousness, because his only desire is to please the Lord. But then there are other kinds of devotees also, whose consciousness is not very purified, and they still have material desires that they want to fulfill. And so they are, because of that, they are not able to satisfy the Lord completely. And hence, they are here described as pseudo-mystics, because they still have ulterior motives. The ultimate desire is not to please the Lord. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada, he actually gives example of the scientists, how they are discovering all these weapons of destruction, rather mass destruction. And this is definitely not necessarily to satisfy the Lord. So he's pointing out, we will see, and we see reading the purports of Srila Prabhupada, that he's always pointing out two main things. One is like how the scientists, they are misusing the resources and energies. And another one is against the impersonalists, who are promoting this understanding of a formless God, just like a source of energy, but there is no form behind it. So we see that at different points, in different places, Srila Prabhupada, he makes these points. So here he's mentioning about the scientists. Now, there are so many different pastimes in the Bhagavatam. We see where different people performed very severe penances to attain certain goals. So one that comes to my mind is about Dhruva Maharaj. So Dhruva Maharaj, he was only 5 years old at that time, and his feelings, they were hurt by his stepmother. And so he's like a son of a Kshatriya. So for him, it was like, he can't take it, he's a little boy. And he was like, I must do something. You see, sometimes children, they are like that. Parents, they want to correct them, but they're a little obstinate. They don't want to listen. And it's hard for them to understand at that age, from a grown-up person's perspective. So his feelings were hurt, and he went crying, running to his mother, because that was the only shelter. And amazingly enough, you know, usually a mother would be very affectionate, would try to do something, but in this case, his mother was very special too. She actually pointed out, I cannot help you. I'm helpless in this situation. I'm not the favorite queen. But she was like intelligent in a way that she pointed out, I know one person who can help you. And she pointed out that you should find Vishnu, Krishna. And he can help everyone, actually. And then the little boy, he just asked straight away, so where can I find him? And his mother was like, I've heard people go in the forest to look for him. So she was pointing out, like, in those days, people would go in seclusion to perform tapasya and, you know, practice self-realization in that way. Now, she didn't think Dhruva would do that, but to her surprise, he did go. And he ended up meeting Narada Muni there. So Narada Muni, he kind of tested Dhruva if he really wanted to, you know, go for it. So Narada Muni is saying, oh, you're a little boy, what are you doing here? This is such a dangerous place. There is like so many dangerous animals, they could harm you. But Dhruva was very, he had his goal. Like sometimes we can see, even materially, like even here taking example of the scientists actually, they have to do so much research work, they have to be in certain restricted areas where not any person can go and see them. So it's like a place of seclusion for them where they have to spend so much time to, you know, make all these kind of products that they can use. So Dhruva was, he was very determined to achieve what he wanted to because his feelings were hurt so bad. So that was his only thing. I want to take a revenge or I want to teach a lesson. So sometimes we can see in the kids they do that. So Narada Muni, he gave him the process, seeing his determination that this person, he's not going to go back. So I better give him some way that will be useful for him since he's already here and he's decided to stay here. So Narada Muni gave him the mantra and he gave him he told him about Ashtanga Yoga process also. But essentially it was the chanting of the mantra that Narada Muni gave him that helped Dhruva became realized. And so that was Dhruva's austerity. And it's actually interesting. Dhruva only practiced it for 1 week. But because it was his sincere, unmotivated effort, of course he had this material goal. But we can see when one makes contact with a genuine spiritual master and performs, carries out his orders as the master has told him, then you see the result is very beneficial. So Dhruva, he did that, and when he actually saw the Lord, he was so attracted. It's like he was feeling, what was I looking for? So it's mentioned actually he was thinking that I was looking for like a piece of glass, broken glass, but I found such a valuable jewel. So Dhruva Maharaj, he like says beautiful prayers, but essentially he was regretting having a material desire to revenge his stepmother and find a big kingdom. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a very beautiful verse. It says, Atmendriya Priti Icha Tare Bale Kham Krishnendriya Priti Vancha Tare Prema Nam. So, the desires to satisfy one's own desires is called kama, lust. But when we do some work to satisfy the senses of Krishna, it's called prema, love. So, I was reading this previous purport. I want to read just like a couple of lines, which kind of glorifies bhakti yoga in a very beautiful way. Since we are discussing the devotees actually getting to see the Lord. So, in the last few lines of previous purport, Srila Prabhupada is saying how anyone, however, preaching the mission of the Lord in the line of Brahma Sampradaya. So, we are in the Brahma Sampradaya and we are hearing Brahma's realization. So, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning this. Anyone, however, preaching the mission of the Lord in the line of the Brahma Sampradaya is always dear to the Lord. And the Lord, being satisfied with such a preacher of the authorized bhakti cult, shakes hands with him in great satisfaction. So in the next purport, in the next verse we will hear, actually it was in the previous, it's in the same text 19, it's actually Lord shakes hands with Brahma and then he starts talking. And then from 25 to 30 we will hear prayers of Brahma. And there, in the last text, actually, Brahma is praying. In text 30, he's praying that, although you have given me all these powers for creating the material cosmos, but he's praying that he may not become proud and think he is the Supreme Lord. So, in many different devotees' realizations, we hear this. They are praying to not become proud when bestowed these special powers on them. And we celebrated yesterday Srila Prabhupada's appearance day, Vyasa Puja. So we can see that very much in his own example also. He was always giving credit to his guru. And many times he was giving credit to his disciples. He was appreciating his disciples because of their help. He was able to do so much service for his guru. So, coming back to this point of performing austerities, tapasya. So, I want to share what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. So, there is like three types of tapasya we can perform. One is for the body. One is for the our speech, and third one is for the mind. So these are like chapter 17, text 14, 15, 16. It says, Deva Dvija Guru Pragya Pujanam Socha Marjavam Brahmacharyam Ahimsacha Shariram Tapa Uchyate. So austerity of the body consists in worship of the Supreme Lord, the Brahmanas, the spiritual master and superiors, like the father and mother, and in cleanliness, simplicity, celibacy and non-violence. And we know this verse is quoted quite often. Anudvega karam vakyam satyam priya hitam chayat svadhyaya bhyasanam cheva vanamayam tapa uchyate. So, vakumayam of the voice. So, there is one siddhi, it's called vaka siddhi, means the power of speech. And you see, there have been many powerful speakers. They would speak so in such a way that masses of people would get attracted and influenced by hearing them. And we can see that like it happened when Srila Prabhupada was also speaking at so many different places. Like thousands of people would come to hear from him and many would become devotees. So now there is one type of meditation that many people perform. It's called Vipassana meditation. I personally met some people who have tried this. And recently I met a young boy. He's from, born in Pakistan, but he lives in London. So he had been practicing this meditation, but then he was like, you know, I'm still looking for more. So we can see like he's not satisfied, so there is still desire to find out more. So he came here, he attended, he went to the museum, heard the kirtan, had some prasad, and he was like so happy. He was like, this makes so much more sense. So we can see even in general, people, they try so many different processes, but once they come to see, come to get to taste little bhakti, they can see it's like there is so much nicer processes, joyful processes. Susukum, like Srila Prabhupada was talking about it yesterday. It is so pleasing. Yesterday we saw how devotees were so absorbed in chanting, in the kirtan, glorifying Srila Prabhupada. So everyone is so happy. So it's a joyful process, but due to lack of knowledge, people are not able to find this process or take to it. And also due to the strong material attachments. So, yeah, that's the Vaka Siddhi. So a pure devotee, his words can change the heart of such a strongly materially absorbed person. And I guess we all are pretty good examples of that, or many of us, I should say. And then the third one is about the mind. So, mana prasada somyatvam monam atma vinigriha bhava samshuddhir iti etat tapo manasam uchate. Satisfaction, simplicity, gravity, self-control, and purification of one's existence are the austerities of the mind. Bhava samshuddhir. So, purification, that's what it does. It purifies our mind. In the purport, it says actually, when you read the Vedic texts like Mahabharata, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, it actually satisfies the mind. And those devotees who read regularly, they can definitely, you know, there are evidence of that, experiencing this. So when one performs these kind of penances, then we are able to transcend all these material motivations that we may have in our own practice. And that's what Dhruva Maharaj was admitting, that I was like a fool desiring a broken glass, but I've received a most precious jewel. So in the teachings of Lord Rishabhdev, there he's telling his sons that one should perform kind of tapasya that would help one become self-realized. Because what it would do is it would make one completely satisfied and one would experience Brahma Sokhyam. So, Nayam Deho Deha Bhajam Nirloke Kashta Kaman Arhate Vidbujam Tapo Divyam Putrika Yena Satvam Shuddhir Yashmad Brahma Sokhyam Tva Anantam. So, there Lord Rishabhdev is telling his sons that the pleasures of the body, mind, senses, they are even available to like lower animals like dogs and hogs. So we see Srila Prabhupada, he quotes often, whenever he's talking about animals, he would often talk about dogs and hogs. So we can see, because what they would do is, they can eat any abominable food, but that's not meant for human beings. So in the purport, actually, Srila Prabhupada, he says to this verse, this is 551 in Srimad Bhagavatam, he says, human life means voluntarily practicing suffering for the advancement of spiritual life. That's what human life means. It's not just looking for comfortable situation. And we can see in the line, all the acharyas, that's what they did. They didn't look for like a comfortable life. They were using their time and energy in doing some extraordinary service which is inspiring for people in general to take to bhakti and become self-realized in that way. So Lord Rishabhdev is telling his sons that human life, it bestows, it awards better, higher intelligence, better facilities. So we should not live our life just like animals, just busily engaged in working hard and just eating, sleeping, defending, all these things. Because the animals are doing the same thing. But you see, if we just do these things, we are lower than animals. Because animals, they don't have to go to work to do all these things. It's naturally available for them. It's only human beings who have to go to work to even get food. But the animals, they don't need to go to report to any employer or anyone. And it's the facility is already there for them. So the human life is much more better facility, and it's actually meant to become self-realized. Because only that will help one become completely happy and experience that Brahma Sokya. So it says in the next to next verse, Mahat Sevam Dwaram Ahur Vimuktesh Tamo Dwaram Yoshitam Sangi Sangam. So by serving a Mahat, just like Dhruva Maharaj, he agreed to hear Narad Muni, he took his advice, he practiced it, and he became self-realized. So it's very scientific, it's not like just imagination. And many people think spirituality is just imagination, mythology. So it is not like that. When one practice, they get realizations. So one should take to bhakti yoga, because even here we can see Brahmaji, that's what Lord is telling him, that previously I was the one who told you to perform tapasya by producing that sound vibration, tapa. And because you followed it, you practiced it sincerely with a submissive attitude, therefore I was pleased with your attitude and your service, and therefore, he got to see the Lord face to face. So bhakti yoga is very scientific, and it is practical, it is real. So don't think it is imagination. But like that example is given, if you want to taste how sweet the honey is, don't just look at the jar of honey. Open it, take a spoon, taste it, and you will find out how sweet it is. So I think I will stop here. It's already time. But yes, Bhrigupati Prabhu has something to say.
Hare Krishna.
Okay. Hare Krishna.
Thank you for a nice class, Prabhu. So my question is Prabhupada, in the translation and in the purport, he's using the word penance, and he refers to the efforts of the scientists to invent nuclear weapons as penance. And I can understand that, because I've heard Prabhupada define the word penance both in his lectures and in his books as voluntarily accepting inconvenience or suffering to the mind and body for the purpose of achieving self-realization, that could be broadened for the purpose of achieving anything, okay? So I can understand it in that way. But the dictionary definition of the word penance is voluntary self-punishment inflicted as an outward expression of repentance for having done wrong. See, so in other words, a Western reader, just somebody who's reading the books would think, well, wait a second, it seems like the authors used the wrong word there. Or even a follower of Prabhupada could think, it seems like I understand what Prabhupada has in his mind when he uses the word penance, but if this is meant for the Western readers, it seems like Prabhupada selected the wrong word there. So I'm not saying that he has, okay? Okay? But I'm just, what should the attitude of a follower of Prabhupada be when they see a word, Prabhupada use a word in a way that's not the conventionally way it's understood to the audience he's trying to reach? How do we understand that?
So I would say this, I'm not a linguist myself, and I know in the introduction to Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada says that, there will be many, what's that? No, there will be many, because English is not Prabhupada's first language. So he says that try to get the message. Don't get stuck with like the synchronicities of this and that. Because it's actually a Sanskrit word, tapasya. So maybe someone else can. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna back. The first thing I would say is that dictionary is for fools and rascals. It's not a good dictionary, whatever you found on the internet. That's the first thing. So penance has many different meanings, but the way Prabhupada uses it is, if you have material urges in your mind or in your body, and you are controlling them, controlling those impulses, not giving in to that, there may be some great discomfort in trying to tolerate the urge of hunger, the urge to sleep. Especially, we saw how Prabhupada, for 10, 11 years, whatever his body might have felt for an urge to sleep, that was his great penance, that he gave up sleep to save us. By writing these books, he had to give up sleep to find the time and be able to concentrate without being disturbed by nonsense. And that's what he did. So not giving into that urge, tolerating it no matter how it feels. It could be a sex urge, hunger urge, sleep urge. But when you don't give in and you accept whatever that feels like for a higher, different purpose, that's penance. Now, these fools and rascals that did their nuclear, marathon to try to have a nuclear weapon, they gave up a lot of things and whatever. But the way Prabhupada has taught us to understand penance by sages, or at the very beginning, imagine, the penance of Lord Brahma. And first of all, he has this desire to please Krishna. He knows that there are countless living entities, approximately 10% of the living entities, that are not in the spiritual world. They're separated from Krishna. All the rest of the smart ones, they never left. But for those countless souls, he wants to create in a way that will bring them back to Krishna. What a desire. The head of our sampradaya wants to save every single soul. He wants to create a world where they can be reformed and rectified and educated. And what Lord Brahma gave up, we can't imagine. It's beyond us. His meditation went on for so long with whatever we consider a body, and urges of the body or urges of the mind, He swept those aside in his concentration to be able to ultimately please the Lord by giving him this creation to bring all the souls back. That's how Prabhupada uses the word penance, not this foolish dictionary, oh, we're so sinful, we're punishing ourselves. No, he uses the word penance to don't give in to the body and the mind and its urges for a much higher purpose.
Thank you, Ru. That's a very easy to understand way. Thank you. Savas Prabhu is something. Sorry. Okay, so we'll conclude here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.